back to your high school science class. What do you remember? Dissecting frogs, mixing chemicals in test tubes, memorizing diagrams and formulas, maybe a trip to the planetarium.
Now, imagine trying to learn all of that if you can't see. Take an astronomy lesson, for example.
If you think about astronomy, at first glance, it's a very visual field, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's all kinds of interesting images from spacecraft and telescopes and some spacecraft that are telescopes. And we wanted to find a way to share that interest and excitement with people who maybe would have trouble, you know, seeing these kinds of things.
That's Stephen Kortenkamp, a professor in the University of Arizona's Department of Planetary Sciences. He is one of the professors behind a new program at the U of A that aims to teach science and STEM to middle school and high school students who are blind or visually impaired.
It's called Project POEM, and it's a collaboration between the College of Education, its Visual Impairments Program, and the Lunar and Planetary Lab at the university. The program is being funded by the National Science Foundation, and its first group of students has just been enrolled.
Including Maggie Lindsay, who is blind and about to enter her junior year at Veritas Prep Academy in Phoenix in the fall. She says she loves science, so when two of her teachers told her about the program, she signed up. They kicked it off last month with a week-long camp at the U of A's Sky School on Mount Lemmon, north of Tucson, where a dozen students handled insects, analyzed soil, and tested water quality with U of A student instructors. Lindsay was there, and I spoke with her and Kortenkamp more about the program recently. We started by talking about how you tailor a science class for somebody who is blind or visually impaired. Here's Kortenkamp.
Yeah, well, my experience doing this the first time was, I think, a totally miserable disaster. I had a student in one of my classes at the university, about 100 students in the class, and he was severely visually impaired. He could see about 3 feet in front of him, and that was it. And when he took my class at the very first day, he just introduced himself, and he asked, you know, if there was any way that we could work together to kind of make it a little more enjoyable for him. Mm. And I was a little kind of shocked, and I did my best, but it was a lot of audio-type things. So, you know, some certain radio waves you can convert to audio, and people can hear, you know, kind of like how we're talking right now. It's radio waves converted to audio. Right. But since then, I've been trying to incorporate more, not just audio, but tactile-type things into my classes. And so I kind of had it on the back of my brain for a while, and then when I got together with Soongae Hong, who's the College of Ed instructor here that's helping us, mm-hmm. we were able to kind of put together some really good ideas that we're now rolling out. And so what we're using is the concept of small bodies like asteroids. When they hit the planet, they make a hole in the planet called a crater, an impact crater. And so we're using these impact craters as our tool for introducing these students to some of the concepts of science.
How does that work?
Okay, so the first one, which Maggie got a sample of, we take these impact craters and we take observations of them from either aircraft on Earth or spacecraft orbiting the Moon or Mars, and we can get their three-dimensional structure. Hmm. And then we print that on a 3D printer, and I can make little 6-inch by 6-inch rectangular structures of, for instance, meteor crater up by Flagstaff.
Right.
And then not only can you see it if you have vision, but you can feel it if you don't, or even if you do, you can feel the structure of this crater and start to characterize it and make observations about it. And so what we're going to do then over the course of the next year, and Maggie's going to get these packages in the mail, there's going to be more 3D printed structures on the Moon and on Mars, and they're going to help the students understand how we use impacts of asteroids and comets to actually study the planets that they impact. So yeah, some of us really care about the craters themselves, but others use the craters as tools to study, for instance, the planet Mars. You know, where do we send our rovers on Mars? Well, we're looking at the surface and we find these interesting craters that looks like they've got a river that used to flow into the crater, you know, from hundreds of miles away that probably carried rocks and sediment into the crater. So we send our rover down into the crater and it studies the material that looks like it was brought in by water. Things like that.
Right. It's a whole different approach. So Maggie, tell us a little bit about this first part of the program when you got to spend a week with these other students on Mount Lemmon. Tell us what you did and what you were able to learn.
Well, it was a lot of fun. They split us up into two groups, and each group had to come up with a hypothesis and then test it and then present it to the other group. So we basically use the scientific method to find something out about somewhere nearby. So my group, we tested soil around some trees that were growing on campus to see whether certain things in the soil were different based on the kind of tree.
Hmm.
We found out that was actually not the case, but it was still a good learning experience.
Yeah. Okay. And give us an example of, have you done something like felt that crater that Steve is describing for us?
Yes, I have felt that crater.
What was it like? How did that help you learn about a planet like Mars, for example?
Well, it was kind of interesting because I vaguely remember having seen pictures of craters a long time ago when I had better vision.
Mm-hmm.
But this was different because it was more detailed. I have very sensitive fingers, and so I was able to feel little tiny bumps.
Mm-hmm.
That was really fun.
So do you think there are some ways in which using this different approach, this non-visual approach to science, might actually allow you to learn more?
Yes. The world is so visual that I think it's very easy for sighted people to just use their eyes and forget about their other senses.
Hmm.
But our other senses are there for us to use, so why not use them?
So, Steve, this is also a research program for you, right? What is it you're hoping to learn?
Yeah, I have some somewhat selfish motivations behind this. Most of my teaching is with students who have vision. And so I'm very curious if I can kind of tweak what Maggie just said about taking these tactile tools and trying to use them in my classroom with students who have vision to see if coming at it from the tactile way rather than just purely visual, they're able to maybe learn in a different way or learn something that they might not have picked up on in a normal sense when you have like an image, even if it's on a computer and you can manipulate it with a mouse, it's three-dimensional. Having it in your hands and being able to manipulate it that way and then actually feel the structure. At this level, we're kind of trying to find ways to engage with students in the sciences for like non-science majors. Mm-hmm. And so I'm hoping that this will be a way to kind of break out of the lecture mode and engage with students, not necessarily with toys, but with tools that they might, you know, find interesting.
I wonder, though, a little bit about the broader context here. Like, why do you think it's important to make sure that science is accessible to everyone?
You know, having a fairly educated population, not necessarily in planetary science or cratering or impacts like that, but just being aware of, you know, the techniques that are used to make the observations that we do and then to model the conclusions that we come to, or at least the theories that we come to. Having something like that in the population, I think, is a good thing. And for the underrepresented minorities, whether they're students with disabilities or students from different backgrounds, I think that it will show them that there are opportunities here for pretty much anybody. You might have to work a little bit harder, or at least work differently than your peers, but there are opportunities for anyone, you know, to get more involved in these kinds of sciences.
Yeah, yeah. Maggie, why do you think this is important?
Looking at it from the point of someone who is blind, I think it's important to teach underrepresented minorities of the population in general that they can do those things if they want to. It's often the case that in the blind community, you're told, no, you can't do that because maybe you'll get hurt, or it's just not done and people are uncomfortable with you trying it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we should be allowed to try those things and to learn.
All right. Steve Kortenkamp, Maggie Lindsay, thank you so much, both of you, for doing this interview.
You're very welcome.
You're welcome.